Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, the one and only podcast that is not mainly talking about Elden Ring. It's the only podcast that is just not about Elden Ring right now.
Yeah, that's accurate. There have been some episodes where I'm like, I think maybe I've heard enough about Elden Ring.
Yeah, same.
And maybe I skip this one.
Yeah, I've been like, okay, guys, we can talk about another video game now, please. Which, I mean, maybe it's because I'm not actually playing Elden Ring, which I will eventually, but I just got so much going on. I was like, I got to fight that hype. I can't just jump on board and jump into that when I know I've got other stuff to play. But fortunately, we have good video games to talk about that aren't Elden Ring this week. So if you're sick of hearing about Elden Ring, you won't have to, except I probably think Addison's going to mention it during his what we've been playing section. But
you know. I'm going to keep that pretty short.
All right. Okay, well, my name's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27. You can follow our show at Pocketoid. With me, as always, is my gorgeous co-host.
It's me, Addison. You can follow me on the internet at Addison_L.
And yeah, you can follow the show at Pocketoid. You can also subscribe to our podcast wherever good podcasts are found. And you can also go to our pinned tweet to join our Discord community and come and hang out with all of us and all the good boys and girls in there and talk about... I don't know, shit, anime and stuff, I guess. Everybody seems to be talking about anime lately. It's like always the busiest channel is the weeb channel lately.
Yeah.
Or also just post selfies in the IRL channel.
I was about to say, or the IRL channel. Yeah. That one's also usually pretty active.
You also can go to twitch.tv/pocketoid and sub to us on Twitch because we stream every Tuesday now. We did it this week and we're just going to cross our fingers. We're going to get to it next week, too.
Yeah, forever.
Forever. We're never going to miss another week. We're going to really try and stick to it. We've cleared the schedule. My toddler's in bed at 8. We're gonna fucking play some video games for you guys. So, go ahead and go to twitch.tv/pocketoid. Give us a sub. We'd love to see you on there. And love to see you in our streams every Tuesday at 7 or 8. We haven't decided on a time yet, but we'll figure it out. Okay, that's all the stuff we have to plug, I think, for right now. Next week we're going to have a very special episode. We're going to be interviewing the director, possibly, one people from the dev team of one of the games we're reviewing this week, Dawn of the Monsters. I just want to go ahead and promo that real quick. So even if you don't make it to our review in this episode, just know next week's episode is going to be real special. We're going to have a new interview, and I hope you can make it. All right, Addison, what have you been playing?
One of our dear friends, Mr. Stevo, mm-hmm. He hacked his 3DS.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, hey, I'm not doing anything. Well, if I hacked my 3DS.
You have any projects going on?
Yeah. So I hacked my 3DS.
Sweet.
And I don't remember where it was at. I think it was literally just on top of my computer. Mm-hmm. I found the previous micro SD card that I was using in my Switch, which was 128 gigs.
Nice.
And hey, you can put a lot of 3DS games on 128 gigs.
I've had 128 in my 3DS for like years, and it's just, I always go back and I'm like, oh yeah, my SD card's full, isn't it? Oh no, there's a lot of room on there.
You can get a lot on there. I think I still have like 75 gigs free.
It's also like just surprising how small a lot of those 3DS games are.
Yeah, like I told you that I downloaded Luigi's Mansion, mm-hmm. like the port of the GameCube one. That shit was like 200 megabytes.
Yeah,
it's like, are you kidding me? How? So I've just been downloading a bunch of games and kind of popping in and checking some out and seeing what I feel like sticking with and what I just want to have on there to have. So I've downloaded a ton. I don't have my 3DS with me, but like I downloaded Dragon Quest 7 and 8 with the orchestrated music.
Hell yeah.
I downloaded both Kirby games.
I wonder if I put those orchestrated versions on my 3DS if I could still continue for my save somehow. Probably not. Whatever.
Downloaded Radiant Historia.
Hell yeah.
Bravely Default.
What a good game.
Animal Crossing, Mario Kart, Super Mario 3D Land. Oh, Metal Gear Solid 3 3D, of course. Why wouldn't you? Just a bunch of stuff. But
there's so much stuff on that console that I just forget exists.
Yeah,
because it like
Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
Yeah, like or like there's a Batman Arkham City game for the 3DS, mm-hmm. which
I think it's called Blackgate.
I completely forgot about that existed. There's a Castlevania Lords of Shadow game on the 3DS.
Yeah,
what?
I think I have that on my list of games to download.
Except it's a side scroller. It's not like a whatever. But
yeah. But you know what I've been playing the most on there?
What?
Pocket Card Jockey.
Hell yeah.
It's
a great pick.
Just at like everyone's recommendation over the years, every once in a while I'd be like, Pocket Card Jockey seems like a game I should like, and I would try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't. I would be terrible, and I just wouldn't understand. I was like, I don't understand how to play solitaire. And I tried like several times, but then since I was downloading all these games, I was like, well, there's no reason to not have it, really.
Yeah.
Because prior, I had only ever had the demo. So I downloaded it, and I don't know if in the past I just wasn't reading everything or what, but for whatever reason, it clicked this time. And I'm still not great at it, but understand how to play it now.
You're describing the last time I played Pocket Card Jockey, which is like I got to a certain point and I was like, my solitaire knowledge has run out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, there's a lot of other mechanics beyond solitaire in there, though. Like, when you do the start and you have to do, like, basically a very quick, short game of solitaire, but you also have to pay attention to which of the start cards has the biggest boost. And then there's like the whole tracing your path thing and like the comfort zone. There's a lot going on in that game, like way more than it has any right to. But
it's a very good game.
It's it's a blast. I've been hopelessly addicted to that. And then it's just kind of been some other things here and there. I have played some Elden Ring, but mostly I just like watching my roommate play it.
Oh yeah.
But I beat Margit.
Nice.
For the Elden Ring people out there. And then I kind of...
That's a name I've heard from people. I'm going to guess it's kind of like the Father Gascoigne and Bloodborne, where you just get to a certain boss and it's like, hey, time to get good at the game, motherfucker.
Yeah, but he's way harder than Father Gascoigne.
Good lord.
But then, just a little bit after that, I kind of just put the game down and haven't gone back to it. Playing a lot of Pokemon Legends Arceus and almost done with that at the end and just kind of dragging my feet because I don't want it to be over. That's a very good game. It makes me excited for the future of Pokemon.
I really hope that new one they announced can live up to Legends Arceus because it looks good.
Yeah, we'll see.
I forgot that they announced that between our last two episodes. It looks good.
Yeah, that toupee duck.
I hope those Evos aren't stupid.
I just don't want them to be sexy. That's it. Yeah. Just don't make them sexy. Stop making Pokemon that people want to do stuff to. other than that, it's just like been some random games here and there. Guardians of the Galaxy and oddly enough, Uncharted 2.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just kind of play things. And
hey, you're talking to the guy who's been playing Switch minigame collections this week, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Switch Wii minigame collections this week, I mean.
And I don't even remember if I ever talked about it, but I also hacked my Wii and like played some stuff on there too and like always, you know, playing stuff on the Mister here and there. Our friend Taylor was very kind and gave me a copy of Pocky and Rocky for Super Nintendo.
That's a spent very, some time very kind thing playing to do. With that.
It's like a repro artwork on the cartridge, but it's like a legit board. It's
so cool.
And I was just like, wow, that's a very nice gesture. It's a
super nice gesture. That's still worth like $100 easily.
Yeah. So I played that a lot and... man, it just looks so good on a CRT.
It's such a good game, too.
Oh, my
too.
God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think I really... I mean, I always knew I liked Pocky and Rocky when I was younger. For some reason, when I was, like, collecting for the SNES, I always thought 2 was the better game. I don't know why, and it's not. And so I remember buying the first one for, like, $7 and being disappointed that, like, it wasn't the second. And being like, oh, it's fine, I guess. And then as the years went on, just randomly popping it in over and over and being like... nah, this game's way better. Like, this game fucks. It's, like, one of the best games on the Super Nintendo. But it took me a long time to get there. I'll always remember that it was, like, it was the first game I made Mitzi play co-op with me after we got married. I was like, all right, you're married to me now. And I finally have someone to play Pocky and Rocky with.
It was all worth it.
God, it's such a good game. I'm so excited for that new one, too.
Yeah, that looks good.
Man, I can't wait to, like, I can't remember. They announced a date for it, but I don't remember when that is.
Did they? I thought it was just like kind of like a generic May.
Is it? I think we've had this conversation before. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, that's kind of all I have other than like my main game. Should I talk about that now or wait?
Let's just wait. Just do reviews later.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Wii stuff, actually. My backlog project's still going well. I've been fixing up some TVs, so my retro setup has kind of been blocked off. I mean, right now there's just one, but there were like 5 TVs on the floor.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
And someone like texted me a thing, and I was just like, I really hate that it's all anyone knows me for right now or something. And then he said, how many TVs are in your TV room right now? And I sent him a picture. And I was like, 8. He was like, exactly. But I sold a bunch of TVs, so I've mostly just been working like on that, like taking them apart and doing some repairs and cleaning and stuff. But my Wii, I hooked up to the retro tank. So every night I've been sitting just playing some Wii, and I played a game called Help Wanted, which was a mini game collection by Hudson. And
I watched you play some of that.
Yeah, I just started playing it because I was like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw it was like 9 hours long, and I was like, I'm just gonna beat this. Why not? And it's just like a stupid fucking game with a bunch of dumb mini games, and it's like, so it's, it basically has like the kind of personality of something like Incredible Crisis or Katamari Damacy or something, where it's just kind of weird Japanese humor and it's like over the top and bizarre. But then the story of the game is there's a giant meteor coming to crash on the Earth, and you need to order via the TV guide channel items that you can break the meteor with. Like you need to order, like they'll sell like a laser or like a big iron volleyball that your mom can spike at the asteroid and break it.
Hell
stuff
yeah.
Like that. And so like, and then like once you break an asteroid, like another one comes, and then like another one comes, and they keep progressively getting weirder. Like it's like, this one's a moon with a scary face, just like, and we're making a bunch of Majora's Mask jokes. This one's a giant red pin, and we're making a bunch of Gundam jokes because it looks like a colony crashing to the earth. Like it's a weird fucking game. But it's a lot of fun. And even though some of the mini games, because it's a Wii game, were frustrating as all shit and bad, it's like there's 50 mini games in there, so there was always like a few I could choose from that I liked or was good at. Help Wanted's fun. If you see it for like, you know, $5 to $10, pick that up.
It sounds like Katamari meets WarioWare.
Yeah, that's kind of, it kind of is like that. I mean, the mini games are a little more substantial than WarioWare, but it's definitely like going for those vibes. And then I also played a game, it's an XSEED game, and it is called The Skycrawlers, Innocent Aces. I didn't realize that this game kind of had like a little cult following, and that I was friends with two of the people who worked on the localization either, because it was done by XSEED. But this is a game that is a prequel to the Mamoru Oshii, you know, the director of Ghost in the Shell, his movie The Skycrawlers, which is a fantasy, takes place in an alternate history where they're basically like corporations that are perpetuating World War II by using clone children as soldiers.
Okay, now yeah. I have to watch this movie.
It's good.
I didn't realize that it was the Ghost in the Shell man.
It is, yeah.
And I rewatched Ghost in the Shell this past week.
Such a fucking good movie.
So good.
I'd say it definitely has more the vibe of Ghost in the Shell 2. It's a little slower. It's a little more philosophical. But the like dogfighting scenes that it does have, even though I wish there were like maybe one or two more, fucking amazing. They are like, they're 3D animated, but they're animated so well, especially for like 2008, I think is when the movie came out.
It's not quite Ace Combat energy.
No, but the game is made by the Ace Combat team. So it's kind of like they complement each other really well, because the game is like all action, and then the movie is a little more like story. I'd say the movie is more like kind of a neo-noir, like mystery thriller with some like, you know, aerial dogfighting stuff. Mm-hmm. But the game... We have a really fucking good soundtrack too, but the game is like an Ace Combat game with a really great story and really great anime cutscenes that then like ties back into the movie in such a cool way, where they turn the scariest person from the movie into like an even scarier person because of the game. And I don't want to spoil how they do that for people who haven't seen either, but go watch that movie and then go buy this game, because the game's only like $7, and I seriously think it could rank up there. And it's only, I think I beat it in like 2.5 hours or 3 hours.
And I feel like I've
seen
that game like around quite everywhere. A bit.
Yeah, it's like $7, which is bizarre to me. It's like, I feel like it's like the definition of a hidden gem, because it's so well made, it plays really well, and you can beat it in like 2.5 hours, and it ties into this movie. And I really think it's just because the movie, like if this were a Ghost in the Shell game and it were this good, it would cost $60 or $70. It's just because the movie didn't take off like Ghost in the Shell. But the game stands, either one stands on their own, and together they just make each other better. And really fucking love the Skycrawlers. Go buy it. It's like $5 and you get to fly around. It's also a little more arcadey than the Ace Attorney.
Ace Combat
series. It's a little more arcadey than Ace Combat. Like for instance, whenever you target an enemy, you're using propeller planes, right? So in Ace Combat, you're always like targeting someone and just shooting missiles, which kind of bores me, honestly, in Ace Combat. In this game, when you target someone, there's no homing missiles. You can only use the guns on the front of your plane. Mm-hmm. But what they do to make up for that is if you get close to the enemy, this bar fills up and you can hit a button to like do a cool like cinematic move and fly in directly behind the enemy and then just gun them down. And so it's like kind of this, it's kind of, it changes up the gameplay to where you're trying to fly closer to your enemies and it feels, right. I don't know, it feels more fun. It feels like a little cool dogfighting game.
I can't remember if this was on the Wii. I think it was, but it might have been PS2. I can't quite remember. But isn't there like a Snoopy Red Baron?
Yes, that's PS2.
Dogfighting game that's supposed to be pretty good?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Do you have that?
I don't have that, okay. No. That's one that I'm probably going to wind up getting because it's still not like crazy expensive, mm-hmm. but there's a few games like that that are really good. There's another one for the Wii. Do you remember My Sims mm-hmm. back in the yeah. day? There's a My Sims dogfighting game for whatever reason.
What?
that's really good. Huh. And also you can find for like $3. And I recently picked that up too. So yeah, there's like, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those genres that is just under the radar enough to the point that I wouldn't be surprised if someday someone releases something and that genre just like kind of like arcade racers have recently.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like someday someone releases like something.
Finally a Crimson Skies.
Exactly.
Follow up.
Yep. And then everyone's like, oh fuck, I want to buy more dogfighting games. Yeah. And that whole genre just gets a big bump. But I feel like it's like one of those that, yeah, it's like kind of like roguelikes used to be and yeah, arcade racers yeah. used to be. But anyway, yeah. If you like the Wii and you like good Wii games, I seriously would put, what's it called? The Skycrawler's Innocent Aces up there in like my top 20, probably. It's that good. So yeah, check it out. It's a good game.
Your top 20 Wii games?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. I just really loved it. It was just, and the story's good and it's fun. I liked it a lot. It's a very good game. Cool. And, it's gorgeous too. And has a good soundtrack. What was I going to say? I think that's it. Oh, and I've been playing, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity mm-hmm. here and there. I want to finish that. It's been on my backlog forever.
Are you doing all the side stuff too?
I was, but now I think I'm just going to run through the story.
Yeah. If and when I get back to it, I'm going to have to ignore the side stuff. I was doing every single bit of it, and I don't know how much time I put into that game, but it was enough where I was like, I feel like this should kind of be wrapping up.
Yeah.
But
I just got to the story bullshit part that I was like, oh, this is what people got mad about. And it is dumb, but it's also good because it makes you have more playable characters, which yeah. is fun. So anyway, it's I don't know. I like that game. It plays well. I want to finish it before Rune Factory next Tuesday, but I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. I've got a week left. All right. Well, there you go. There's the games I've been playing. You want to get into our reviews?
Yeah.
I'll let you go first since mine's a newer game, I guess. I don't care either way.
Okay.
I think we're both going to give similar scores. So. All right, Addison, what's your review?
So, Jordan, remember like about 25 years ago when it was 2018.
Yes.
God damn it. And we went to PAX.
Uh-huh.
And we had booked an appointment to go see some games that we weren't 100% sure what they were, but we were pretty sure that one of them was Windjammers 2.
Uh-huh.
And
which hadn't been announced yet.
Yeah, so we saw Windjammers 2 and Streets of Rage 4, which have all come out fairly recently. Windjammers 2 not that long ago.
Yeah.
That
event was kind of like perfect for us because it was just like, I mean, like I know that because even when we were there, I was kind of like, I feel like we're not supposed to be. I feel like, everybody there was way more official than we were. We were like, how do we get into this? But then at the same time, it's like we've both been the biggest fucking evangelists for Windjammers and Streets of Rage. So,
yeah.
Which we would have been anyway, even without the event. But, you know, God.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't simp for video game publishers, but .emu has a way of getting me there.
Yeah.
Anyway, but one of the games we saw there was
Young Souls, which apparently this game has been in development for like the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
So like they had been working on it for quite a while before we even saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we played that demo that they had there, and we just both were just blown away. We're mm-hmm. like, holy shit, this game is incredible and gorgeous. If you are maybe a newer listener and you don't recall us talking about this game,
I think it won our best of show in 2018 and 2019. I'm pretty sure.
Definitely 2018, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember.
Because in 2019, we played it again, and that's whenever they revealed the, like, shops and, like, the equipment and all that stuff. Yeah, the hub world stuff. And we were like, God. And the cinematics, too.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. We hadn't seen any of the cinematics until then, yeah.
Yep.
Man, 2019, I don't want to think about that.
It feels like 2018 and 2019 are mashed together as, like, within 5 minutes of each other, and then everything after that has been, like, 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, in case you are only hearing about this game for the first time, Young Souls is a kind of a combination between beat-em-up games and RPGs. Mm-hmm. So you made a really good comparison earlier of comparing it to like the old Dungeons & Dragons beat-em-up games like in the arcade and Super Nintendo and stuff. Wait, were they on Super Nintendo?
King of Dragons was, which is the like unofficial prequel to those games, so it counts.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. So you play as these two kids and... you know, you're orphans and you've kind of been somewhat sort of adopted by this professor, but, you know, you feel really weird about it. And you're just living in this town and you're kind of just like some shithead teenagers. And
I love a couple good shithead teens. Yeah. More shithead teens in my video games, please.
Yeah, yeah. These are some primo shithead teens.
Like, I always hate in, like, RPGs, for example, whenever you get, like, a kid party member and he's just, like, bubbly and happy.
Yeah.
Like, give me a shithead kid for my party member.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, they, like, in a situation like that, you should have more angst.
Yeah.
Like, you're a teen and, like, you got some shit going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so... Your professor, your guardian guy, he has gone missing, and so you're just like, well, I guess we need to figure out where he's at, and through that you discover this gate, and it kind of will teleport you in between your world and this parallel world where goblins just kind of rule everything, and like some goblins are nice. The majority of the goblins that you're going to meet, not nice, but some will like, you know, you'll help them out, and they'll help you out. So you've got, like, these hub worlds where you can, and you unlock more features as you play the game.
Okay.
But you'll be able to, like, get new armor, upgrade weapons, get accessories, get, you know, like, new clothes, just to, like, that, as far as I can tell, don't really do anything other than just make you look cool.
Yeah.
And then you also have, like, a little moped that you're riding along across the hub world to all these different areas, but you can also fast travel if you want.
And I love how all of the equipment like shows up on your character too, like all the different weapons and armor. And
always appreciate hats. That.
And it always has like, it still has like this, I don't know, just this very distinct aesthetic that's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to describe, but it's like a lot of like, I almost said pastel, but it's not pastel colors. I don't know how to quite describe it.
Yeah, I don't either. But it has a lot of pinks and teals, like contrasting with each other.
Yeah, kind of almost like a 80s influence kind of vibe, but it's not like Stranger Things or anything.
Yeah, no, it just kind of has like that vibe of shithead kids running around this town, going on adventures.
And like, you'll like run into the mayor and he'll, like at the beginning you like see him and he's like, shouldn't you guys be in school? And you, one of the choices is just like, we stopped going. like you can just be like shitheads to like all these adults, and it's great. Like, there's some just really fun dialogue, and like, the game is just gorgeous. And
you know, I never really thought about it, but it's actually kind of close to River City Ransom in that way of like being able to go into town and like go work out and go, you know.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of feels like River City Girls, but medieval.
Yeah, and like the combat is way more Dark Souls influenced.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Than like
River City Girls is more Streets of Rage.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is more like Streets of Souls.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like you've got your light attack and your heavy attack, and you can charge your heavy attack, but you also have a roll. And then since you're equipping all this different equipment, like sometimes you have a shield and you can block with that or do a parry. But then maybe you have a sword that is two handed, and so then you don't have, you know, your shield, and you know maybe you've got a bunch of heavy armor, and so you don't move quite as fast.
And you've also got a mana attack that like.
Yeah, that's for your special
attack. Yeah, and those seem those. I mean, as much as I played with you, each one of those was different for each weapon that I used.
Yep. And then you know, as you upgrade your armor, and weapons and stuff, you will unlock new abilities for them and just improve the equipment. You know, a standard playthrough of this game is, you know, 10 to 12 hours or so, but really, like, you can just keep playing and, like, get all of this, you know, equipment upgrades and new equipment and different loadouts and such. And
it's like perfect video game.
It's such a good couch co-op game. Yeah. And I've, for the most part, that's how I've played it because that's the way that it's most fun. And it's like fun to play solo as well.
It seems like, but, I mean, it's definitely what it's designed around too. Cause like even when you're playing single player, you told me you still have the other character with you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. And then, so you can like switch between the characters on the fly.
That's nice how you can like build one around like one play style and one around another. If
yeah.
You want. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can kind of just play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses. I do kind of feel like, at least with the Switch version of the game, I can't speak to the other versions, but I do feel like it still kind of needs a little bit of spit shine and polishing here and there. We ran into a few kind of odd issues with the game. One you said that you had ran into before with
game. I think it was Turbo or Horizon Chase Turbo, actually, which was like, oh my God, stop. It keeps telling me to update. I'm like, go fuck off. So one of them was Horizon Chase Turbo, actually. It was, so what it would do is if you left it in sleep mode, over time, the game would get framier and framier. Like it would, you know, it would have less and less frames, and then suddenly it would crash.
And that's, so, that's exactly what has been happening with Young Souls.
Yeah, it's like you can't put it in sleep mode. You need to close the game every time you're done playing it, or else when you boot it back up, it'll be super slow, and then eventually it'll crash.
There was like some weird controller issues when we were playing tonight too, but I don't know if that was the game or the Switch. I suspect it was like a Switch thing.
Could be the Joy-Cons.
So I don't want to put that on the game.
Yeah. Because we also didn't run into that our first time we played together
either. Yeah, no. It seems like, wasn't there another issue we ran into tonight?
It was the crash and then the slowdown and then I can't remember. I thought there was one other thing.
So it's not really like a glitch or bug or anything, but there's like just some stuff within the game that I wish was a little bit more streamlined and more just kind of easy to do. Because whenever you want to do co-op, it's kind of confusing.
We were trying to hook my controller up, but we had to go into the game and like reconnect the controllers.
Yeah, you have to start the game and then go into the pause menu and go to controls and then connect both controllers and move them to whoever.
Even if they're already connected, you have to like reconnect them.
Yeah, wish like that you could just hit start and jump in like a lot of co-op games.
Yeah.
So that would be something that I would love to see them kind of redo. And then this is, you know, maybe an issue for some people. It kind of was for us. Maybe this is a plus for you. I don't know. Kind of depends on your play style, but, this game is also pretty challenging.
It's fucking hard.
So we were playing,
pretty challenging on easy.
Yeah.
We were playing relaxed and getting our asses handed to us.
Yeah. We started off on like normal and then pretty quickly we're like, okay, let's lower this. And
hey, fuck this actually.
We were doing okay. And then we would just get to points where it would just be really, really hard.
And you fight these bosses that they have two waves. You take down their health bar and then they just like bounce back. And I kind of wish, I mean, I can't speak to how it goes later in the game, but at least like here, I was just like, if I could turn off this damn feature where the boss bounces back, I would do it in a heartbeat. Cause it's just like, it just kind of kills all your like satisfaction of having taken down that health bar. And then every boss is, and with a game that's hard too, cause like even with Dark Souls, right? When you're good enough at parrying in Dark Souls, you can just, you know, roll that game. You don't even roll it really, but you can parry any boss. You can parry it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in this game, like, all the bosses have parry resistance. I was like, if you're going to give me a parry, at least let me, like, use the skills I've gained to break this boss. Like, that's
so
how this works.
The bosses do have parry resistance, but it's still not like it's pointless to parry, because when you parry, you'll get mana, and, the mana is, like, kind of a game changer on like what you've got.
You can summon spiders to help you or do like a big damaging attack.
Parry really only kind of comes in handy with like the smaller enemies, but it's like also, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say it only comes in handy on the smaller enemies. It's just not as battle effective with a boss. And, you know, coming from, you know, Dark Souls or something, like, you're kind of expected to parry more, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know.
One thing we also didn't do, you know, to get, when we played together at least, was like go back to older levels and just fight enemies and grind out some more gold and things.
Yeah, which
they may be wanting you to do more. Is like, well, if it's too hard, go get some more gold and go work out some more.
And there are like a whole bunch of things within the accessibility where you can like...
We discovered that tonight when we were like, oh, there's a bunch of accessibility options. Yeah,
and we just turned everything on and made it complete baby mode. And
we lost this boss like 6 times. We're like, you know what? Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, before we leave, let's whoop his ass.
We just wrecked his shit.
And yeah, I think we took like a total of 10 points of damage combined.
So there is a lot more customization to the difficulty if you use the accessibility options.
It should not be a make or break thing. It was just like kind of like I kind of wish this was a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's
that's
a hard thing because
to be fair, when we demoed this game, it was
hard when we demoed it too.
I remember when we played that first demo and we were like, oh yeah, this is so fun. And then the developers were watching us being like, no, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what. And then we're dead. It's like over in like 5 minutes. Yeah. So,
but also whenever you like fall down, you can run over to your buddy and like revive them up to 3 times. But overall, I really like this game a lot. I hope that they put out some patches to kind of make the performance a little bit better.
Yeah, that was another
thing.
The
load times are also pretty long.
And we noticed, like, on the Switch version, sometimes when you'd, like, exit into a new room, some of the assets would load in a little slow, so, like, pieces of your character would disappear for a second, which, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is... I mean, if all those things are, like, way too big of a problem with you, I would just recommend getting it on a different platform. But I'm sure this will get improved with a few patches.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. This game is also on Game Pass. Mm. So if that's something that you have and you are wanting it on the Switch, then maybe just try it on Game Pass and just kind of see if it's your thing. And just know that, at least at the time of this recording, the getting it on Switch, you're going to just... probably have some performance issues at least until they get some more patches out.
I mean when it hasn't been in sleep mode, it was a lot better. Like, it really was. I mean, it still ran it like, I think it was probably running at 30 FPS, but like, it was way more consistent. And you know, and you need a game like this to be consistent because of like the Twitch controls, now hard it is, and the parring and the dodging and the all that. So I don't know.
Sorry. All that said, I still love Young Souls, and I'm so glad that it's out. And
one thing we didn't mention is how fucking gorgeous this game is, though.
Oh, I mean, I did.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that part. God, this game's so good.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible to look at. I've never seen a game that looks quite like this, and it's just fantastic. Go watch a trailer and kind of get like a feel for what this game looks like, and I think you'll definitely be pretty interested.
Yeah.
So, all that said, Young Souls, I would give it a buy it. I like it quite a bit, and I think it's just a ton of fun to play with a friend. It is available now on the eShop for $25, and that comes to us from publisher Arcade Crew. So we want to say thank you, Arcade Crew, and developer, I don't know if they say it 1P2P or 1Player 2Player Studios, but that is the developer. And I can tell you one thing. I am very excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, same. So. Especially since they've been working on this for so long. I hope their next thing has a little quicker turnaround.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, you know, maybe they can use the same engine.
Oh, yeah,
dude. Build upon it.
God.
Maybe it'll just be Young Souls too. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't mind. All right.
So I know that you've also been playing a game that we've... another game that we have not been looking forward to at quite as long as Young Souls, but still... a game that we've looked forward to a lot. That was a cool sentence, huh?
Yeah, great sentence.
Yeah, I did good in my talking words.
Our next game that I'm reviewing is Dawn of the Monsters. It comes to us from developer 13AM Games and publisher WayForward. We've reviewed some games from 13AM before. We've always liked what they've done. You know, they kind of, I remember specifically the last game that they made that I reviewed had, it was kind of a 2D beat 'em up and had some nice animation, but it just didn't have enough personality for me to really grab me. But when I saw this, Dawn of the Monsters, it just immediately, I was like, okay, this is my shit. because Dawn of the Monsters is a side-scrolling beat 'em up themed after kaiju movies. And not even just kaiju movies, but just kaiju media in general. You've got these four playable characters that are each kind of themed after different parts of like kaiju lore. Like one of them, Megadon, is very obviously inspired by Godzilla. There's another one that's kind of this crab monster that reminds me a lot of the kaiju from Pacific Rim. You've got another one who's obviously a callback to called Aegis Prime, who's a callback to like Ultraman, and another one that is a giant robot that is obviously like kind of a reference to a lot of different giant robot media, but I especially see Getter Robo and that robot's design. And all four characters play completely unique. They've each got a lot of different attacks you can use. You can have like a heavy or light attack you can do, heavy attack you can do, a dashing attack that you can do. And then on top of that, you've got these other moves. You've got a rage meter that fills up, and you have three, each character has three unique rage moves they can use that use part of your rage meter. And then on top of that, you've got another bar that fills up. I think it's called your cataclysm bar as you use rage moves. And once you fill that up, it does like a giant screen clearing attack. And then, you know, it also has like some charge attacks that you can use as well, where you charge, regular attacks and, you know, you just make these big combos. And I was a little nervous about how this game would play watching the trailers, because I noticed that while being a beat-em-up, it doesn't play like, you know, a lot of different traditional beat-em-ups. Like there's no grappling moves, for example. And, you know, I love my grappling moves, like in Streets of Rage or in Final Fight or in a Final Fight or whatever. I love when I can get close to an enemy, you know, throw them at another enemy to kind of manage the crowds and like also do suplexes and stuff. This game doesn't have any of that. But what it has instead is a really well done juggling mechanic where you can just kind of like hit monsters in the air and then just kind of keep them up there as you're doing all these different attacks. And if you can time all these together, you build up a combo meter and you kind of gain, you get rated. You get these letter ratings for each section, you know, all the way up to, it's like, I think F all the way up to S+, I'm pretty sure. And so, as you're playing, you beat up monsters and you scroll the screen and then you beat up some more monsters and they introduce some more monster types.
So it's a very much a beat 'em up episode.
Beat 'em up, ass beat 'em up. But they do have some other things here that kind of change that up a little bit. You have these augments that you can find for your monsters. And there's just, like I said, there's just those four playable characters, but each of them is pretty unique and has a lot of stuff you can do. And you get these augments for them that can, for instance, make, oh yeah, you've also got a dodge and a parry, you know, and a block, just like in Young Souls, which is awesome. And you've got like these different augments you can do that'll maybe make it to where like if you dodge an enemy's attack perfectly, you will be invulnerable for 3 seconds. Or if you... You know, I'm trying to, like, if you have less than 10% of your health, it'll fill up your cataclysm meter, you know? And so you get these different augments and you can equip 3 of them at once. And depending on what your overall level letter rating is for like that mission you just did, depends on like how strong or what rank of these augments that you will unlock. And so there is a little bit of customization going on here. You've also got, it wouldn't be a beat 'em up if it didn't have co-op, and it has two-player co-op. You could argue maybe it's a missed opportunity when you got four monsters to not have four-player co-op, but boy, there's a lot of stuff going on the screen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can't even picture. I could maybe see three.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening on the screen, so I don't know how four-player would work. Two-player was just fine for me. I will say, I think maybe my only real complaint about this game is that when you're playing two-player, if one of you dies, there's no way to bring that person back or like start over from a checkpoint. It's just like the other player just has to keep going until mission's over. And we did that and it was kind of like, oh, I just have to sit here now? That stinks. And so it's like I would have liked a way to maybe like sacrifice half of the other person's health bar or something like that to kind of just even things out a little bit. One other issue that I had it's not a big issue, but it does, at least on the Switch port, there is some performance fluctuation. There's a little bit of jumpiness. It's probably just running at 30 FPS, but it felt a little like there was some framiness going on. I don't know what the other versions are like. I just played it on Switch. But it didn't, I mean, I was used to it in 5 seconds. You know, if you play on the Switch, you're used to games being 30 FPS. But if you see this one and kind of like the visual style, you might think it would be at 60, but it's not. And it's fine. It works. It doesn't bother me. You got these big 3D cities and you got a lot of effects and things going on. So I can kind of see how that would tank the visuals a little bit. But speaking of the visuals, it has this really nice kind of manga style art style where you've got this like, you even got like dot shading going on in like some different areas. And it looks really good. I really like the way this game looks. And it actually uses, you know, puppet animation. Actually, Young Souls does too. Now I think about it in some cases, it's something that we often criticize, you know, it's kind of this animation style where you, and when people say like flash animation, this is what they're talking about, where you take like multiple 2D elements and you kind of animate them together as different segments of a character. But these two games, Dawn of the Monsters and Young Souls, both do such a good job of it. I have no complaints. Like Dawn of the Monsters looks fantastic. All the animations, all the attack animations look incredible and have a lot of weight and impact to them. That's something I should mention about the gameplay too, is it's not as speedy as some other beat-em-ups. If you want speed, just play as Ultraman, because that's definitely like what his thing is. But these are chonky boys. They're big monsters. It's a little more sluggish, but that's because you're playing as giant monsters. You just gotta, it's just how it goes.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what makes you feel like you're controlling a giant monster. So, but yeah, once again, if you want to play as, you know, if you want to play as a fast boy, play as Ultraman.
And something that I don't think you've mentioned yet that I thought was really cool was the different color palettes that you can unlock.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, they're all kind of themed after other, you know, things of the genre or related to the genre.
This is definitely like a big love letter to kaiju media. There's like a bunch of different references to other kaiju media. The recolor or the palette swaps you can buy are definitely, there's like one you can buy looks just like Eva 01 from Evangelion called 90s. There's one, some of the first ones you see are like the Eva one. There's like a Kamen Rider one. There's one called Amuro, which is obviously like the RX-78 Gundam. And, what was the other one? There was another one that I can't remember.
We saw one that, like, I think was supposed to be, like, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be Ninja Turtles colors. But
there were some that we were, like, not really sure what they were going for.
There's one called Guava that looks really familiar, but I can't figure out what it is.
It's, like, the noir.
I hope somebody does a, like, a spreadsheet. Not a spreadsheet, but, like, just a little image that says what they are. Because I can't remember what all of them are. But I can't figure out what all of them are. But they're great. And I'm glad that they have that little, you know, those little unlocks you can use to kind of, you know, give the game some replay value, which is good because it's a pretty short game. You know, we played through, we didn't play through a quarter of the game tonight, but like there's really kind of like four chapters and then like, you know, you got, I think it's like 32 missions total. So like within those chapters they're split up and I'm bad at math. I don't know how many, whatever. There's a lot of missions and you go through and, you know, but it's also good for a beat 'em up to be that short because you don't want it to get repetitive and you want it to be something that feels fun to replay multiple times with different characters and different, you know, players and different augments and things. So it also has a cool story. So I keep saying kaiju. The kaiju in this game are referred to as Nephilim, actually, like within the story, that's the name. And this basically takes place in a, I hate to say it, but kind of Pacific Rim-esque world where the, you know, the Nephilim have taken over the world.
Yeah.
And you are the, you know, the last force standing that are kind of fighting back against these waves of monsters. And it's awesome. And all the enemy monsters look great too. Oh, that's something I forgot to mention. A lot of the monsters in this game are designed by Shinji Nishikawa, who is like the main artist behind most of the, you know, monsters in the Heisei and Millennium Godzilla movies. And so they have a really authentic, you know, Japanese kaiju look to them. Like when you see them, it doesn't seem like, you know, like for instance, like there's this game called War of the Monsters for the PS2. It's a fun game, but I remember seeing it and being like, none of these look like real kaiju. None of the monsters in here do. They look kind of like Western versions.
Did he only do the boss designs or did he do all of the enemy
designs? I don't know how many he did. I don't know which ones he did. But I can kind of, if you were to show me a bunch of them, I could kind of point to them and say, I think that's a Shinji Nishikawa
monster.
There's
that one like little guy with the pointy head.
Yeah.
And he felt very Ultraman
to me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one, little one. What's his name? He's like that. I can't remember. It's like Taro Don, I think his name is. Yeah, it charges forward.
Yeah.
But I think that he, definitely worked on Megadon, like the big red Godzilla-like monster you can play as. I think I almost know for certain he designed that one, because I think I remember them like showing that on social media. And I think some of the enemies that we saw too that look kind of like him, I think he probably designed as well. I wouldn't be surprised if the bosses were also him. I'm just not 100% sure, so I don't want to, you know.
Well, I saw that one that was like Ghidorah mixed with
Zetton from Ultraman. Zetton, yeah. Yeah, and that definitely could have been him. I mean, he kind of had, that one kind of had like a, there's a monster in one of the Gamera movies that has kind of like a pointy face. He's like I can't remember. I think it's Iris. I think it's called Iris. And he kind of reminded me of Iris in some ways too. But it's a freaking good game. I like it. It's a beat 'em up with giant monsters. I can go into a lot more detail if you want me to. Like, when it comes down to it, it's a fun beat 'em up where you play as big kaiju monsters. And everything feels authentic and everything blends together well. Oh, let's go back to the story for a second. It's also has like these great character designs, and it really unpacks its world with these voice acted cutscenes. I will say that like there's a lot of dialogue. Some of it's optional because you can like go to like this section on the menu screen called, you know, chat, where you can like hear extra dialogue. And sometimes I'm just like, I just want to jump in and fight monsters, man. I don't know
why. Do you get any sort of like end game benefit from doing that? Or is
it's just for the lore. Yeah. They also have like some documents and stuff you can read on the different monsters, which is, they're actually really fun.
Yeah. That was like, cool. These kind of saw like the, as, I don't know, diagrams, probably not the right word.
The anatomy.
The cross section.
Yeah. God, dude. I love that they did that. I haven't finished this game yet. You know, I just got it a couple days ago for review and I really tried to hurry through it, but I'm not all the way through yet. I'm sure we'll talk about it next week some more. But like where I'm at right now, I have at least one of these like, one of those, like, if you've seen them, if you had a Tumblr back in the day, you've seen them before. These cross-section artworks where, you know, they would, in Japan, they would show the anatomy of these.
They'd draw, like, all the monsters, like, organs and skeletal systems.
And they,
like,
they had one of those for
fake Godzilla.
Yeah, and it looks fucking dope. I hope there's more of those, but that might be the only one.
That was very good. I like seeing that a lot.
It's a great game. It really is. It's awesome. And I really like it. I like fighting the bosses. I like fighting the enemies. I like getting better and better letter scores. I'm a huge beat-em-up fan, and this feels unique kind of in the Switch's beat-em-up library because it doesn't just play like everything else.
Yeah.
And it also has a really cool, different theme to it. If I was going to compare it to some games that came before, you know, kaiju games have not had the best track record. There's just not a lot of really good ones out there.
We got Destroy All Monsters Melee, and then...
Which, let's be honest, is fun. It's not like a great game. It's really fun. But Addison's making an expression where he's like, I can't accept that fact. It's fun, but it could use some work, too.
It's a good game.
I need to buy that Wii version of that game. It's like up to $60 now.
Really?
The Wii version, yeah. Damn. But it has like a ton of new, like, different monsters in it and stuff. Yeah. So I might still go in on it. Anyway, so yeah, like you got Destroy All Monsters Melee. You've got Godzilla Domination for the Game Boy Advance by WayForward Studios, which is, I think, previously my favorite Godzilla game. This game definitely harkens back to it in some ways. And that game itself is kind of a like callback to like King of the Monsters 2 for like the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, which was not a great game on its own. But I would say like this game feels, you know, almost like it's like a callback to Godzilla Domination, but it's, I think, even better than that game. So, you know, but that game was more of a fighting game, like an arena fighting game. So, you know, it's hard to compare the two. Either way, it's a great beat 'em up. I love it. I like big monsters. I like when a big monster do a big punch.
Yes.
And when you do a big explode, you breathe the big fire. Yeah. And, all the sound design too. Music's great. Mm-hmm. It kind of has
some incredible, kaiju roars.
Yeah. Like it's tough to nail like an authentic sounding kaiju roar. And they really sounded great. Dude. Yeah. You can tell a lot of love went into this game and, I gotta give it a buy it. I can't give it anything less than a buy it. It's just a great game. I don't know if I'd say it's an essential, not everyone's into super, you know, beat 'em ups. It is a little, the controls are a little tanky.
What was the price on it?
It is $29.99.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like, it's a premium price. So, but if you're like, I want a good beat 'em up, I like big old monsters. If you're like a Godzilla fan, an Ultraman fan, which I know a lot of our listeners are because they're weirdos like us.
Yep.
I cannot recommend this game enough. I like it a lot and it's just dope and it's really fun. So once again, that was Dawn of the Monsters. I want to say thank you to the developer 13AM Games and publisher WayForward for sending us a review copy. It is $29.99 and it is available on the eShop right now. Go check it out. It's also like in a bunch of different places. It's releasing like everywhere else too. So
sick.
If you search on your console, I'm sure you can find it. Maybe not on like the Vita or whatever, but you can find it on your PS4 or the like, the usual suspects.
Get it on your Nintendo Wii before the eShop closes.
God damn, this would have been a great Nintendo Wii game.
Yeah.
It totally has like the vibe of like a fan, like a game that would have been incredible on the Wii. 10 people would have bought it.
Yep.
And then like it would have cost $70 a few years down the line. Yep.
Yeah. Alien Hominin, which mm-hmm. I mean, that was GameCube.
It was GameCube. Yeah, it totally has like, God, what a good game. I'm really 13 AM. Each of their games that I've played, they just keep getting better and better. I'm really excited to see what they work on next. I hope this game is big success and I can get more. I want more monsters. I will pay for a DLC pack with more monsters. All right. So yeah, that's Dawn of the Monsters. Thank you guys. Those are all our games we had to review. Let's do our listener questions.
Yep, I've got them pulled up here.
Oh, nice.
Good old Zach Hinkle asks, what's your favorite episode of The X-Files?
The best episode, which is X-Cops. The episode is a mashup between Cops and X-Files.
Yes, okay.
God, what a good episode.
I was sitting here trying to think, and yeah, that's probably the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
I made a sort of joke answer, but also kind of a real answer. Fluke Man.
Fluke Man?
Yeah, he's a toilet boy.
It's called like, that one's called like File something something, where he's like.
I thought it was literally called Fluke Man.
Is it called that? I don't know if it's called that.
The monster's called Fluke Man.
The scary fish man. The big white fish boy.
He's a toilet boy.
With the scary mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good monster.
He's upsetting to look at.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like if like the creature from what is it called? That Guillermo del Toro movie that won Best Picture.
Oh.
Shape of Water.
Yeah.
It looks like that, but like
had inbred, sex with a leech.
Inbred and like went through a fire or something.
Has been hanging out. He looks like if the creature from Shape of Water had sex with a kezu.
Yes.
From that Monster Hunter.
Very accurate. Ben Raymer asks, what's your favorite video game based on a TV show? And then
that's a good
he
one. That's a good
specified
question.
That is not pro wrestling.
WWE Crush Hour, baby.
It's a good question and hard for me to answer. I've been thinking about it. The two answers I've come up with, Simpsons Hit and Run.
Nice.
I love that game. And then Astro Boy for GBA.
Oh, what a good game, dude. Did you know they tried to make a pseudo follow-up to that for the Wii? But it's not, it's not as good, but you can tell when you see it.
Like, was it made by Treasure? Similar.
No, okay. It was made by somebody else. that's a really hard one for me to answer because it's like now I'm trying to think about video games based on TV shows and I can't even think of any.
I keep coming back to cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, I can think of other ones that aren't cartoons, but the games are bad, like the Sopranos game. Or like, I don't know, there's that Friends trivia game.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to pick those.
Does Castlevania count? I'm just kidding.
No, because
it's based on a video game.
Yeah, it's a TV show based on a game, not a game based on a TV show.
I used to think that Gungrave was based on the anime, but it's the reverse, actually.
Yeah, I used to think that as well, until you told me, actually.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull up a wiki here, see what we got.
I feel like some of those Buffy the Vampire Slayer games are supposed to be okay.
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about it.
One of them was good.
Oof. One that I've always wanted to play so bad is, and it's like, it's gotten expensive, but I'm going to buy it. I have like some stuff to sell to buy it, is the X-Files Resistor Serve for the PS2. It's just a Resident Evil game where you like, it's just Resident Evil Zero where you switch between the characters, but it's like you play through different episodes.
Are you playing as Mulder and Scully?
Yes.
Okay.
And like, I really want to play that game. I've heard lots of good stuff about
it. Did they get them?
That's a good question. If they actually, I bet they did. The PS2 is like that era where you really could like find, like get the people to come voice your game. And that was always like a big deal. Like, oh, David Duchovny came and did like a sleepy ass recording for 2 days for our video game.
I've never looked at this game before, but Zach replied and said, A-Team for the Atari 2600.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's incredible. You play as Mr. T's floating head, 10 out of 10.
I think there's a... No, there's a G.I. Joe game for the NES by Capcom that's really fucking good. Man, I love that game. Oh yeah, we could do, we could totally do like the, like Tailspin or DuckTales. You could do any of those, but they're cartoons. It's tough to find one based on like a actual TV show. The Xena Warrior Princess game for the,
oh my God,
for the, what is it? The, PS1 is actually pretty fun. It's kind of a Zelda clone, and it's fun.
And the Hercules game for the Nintendo 64.
No.
It's dog shit.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not that many good ones. I'm trying, but
Stevie said that the MASH game for 2600 is good because it plays the MASH theme and you play bad operation, and when you lose, it calls you a ferret face.
That's great.
All right, do you want to move on? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Joseph, America Joseph, mm-hmm. not UK Joseph, he asked, who's your favorite mascot platformer mascot? And, I mean,
yeah,
it's Mario, right?
It's got to be Bubsy.
Yeah, Bubsy. Buck Bumble, duh.
It's got to be Gex. I don't know.
He also mentioned.
I want to not pick Mario.
I don't know if he did this on purpose, but he mentioned Klonoa twice.
Yeah, that's. I honestly, like, if it wasn't for Mario, I was about to say, because we.
What about Cookies and Cream?
Cookie and Cream's fun. I've actually been meaning to pick that up again recently, but Klonoa is, like, on another level. Klonoa is just a good design, fun games, good stuff.
Yeah.
If you haven't played those Game Boy Advance Klonoa games, guys, go play those. That's what I'm playing through right now. Damn, that's a good game. Holy cow. It's great. Go play him.
I don't know. I mean, this, I guess, will be just a real short one. But Brains asks, am I the only one who holds out hope that blank indie game gets a physical release on Switch or another platform and refuse to buy the digital version? I almost never do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes if there's one that I'm, like, very excited about and I know I'm going to buy, then I will.
Dawn of the Monsters is getting physical release.
Is it?
Yeah. When I saw that box art, I was like,
There's a few where I kind of wish I had waited and gotten, like, I think it's only available at Best Buy, but they've got some of these ones where you get, like, a copy of the game and, like, a little plushie for, like, $40, $50 or something.
When it comes to my Switch, I'm fine with buying digital games if they're, like, $20 and under, usually. I mean, like, and if it's only digital, of course, I'll pay, like, $30, $35. But, like, it's tough for me to, like, wait months for a game I really, really want to play.
Yeah.
Just to pay $10 more for it and have it on a cartridge. And I get why people do it. I get it. Don't
know if it's even exactly, going to or yeah. not. Like, I adore Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
And, like, I probably should buy that physical copy just to have the physical copy.
Yeah.
But, like, no way in hell I was going to wait.
No. Yeah, and I get why people do it. And, like, normally I'm that guy who likes to have physical games. And if it's a $60 game, I'm buying it physical. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to risk making a $60 purchase on something I won't be able to download at some point. But, like, when it comes to, like, $20, $15, $10 games, I'll just buy them. I don't care.
I usually will buy them physical if I'm able to get them cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, I have physical copies.
That makes sense.
Of Slay the Spire and Ukulele in the Impossible Lair, just because, like, there was just weird sales during the holidays where I was able to get those a lot cheaper than, like, they would even sell for digitally.
Like, my preference is physical. If these games were released at the same time, physical, and they cost the same price, I would buy physical every single time. But they're released months apart and cost $10 or $15 more.
There's some games,
and I have to, like, fight people for pre-orders.
There's, like, some games where I do kind of wish I had a digital copy. Yeah. Like, I love Slay the Spire, and I kind of wish I had that digitally.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ended up getting Clubhouse games digitally rather than physical, just because I knew. I was like, that's one that, like, will just be good to just always have on deck and bust out whenever.
I wish I'd gotten Animal Crossing digitally. I wish I could just buy a game physically
and
download the digital version.
Yes.
Why can't you do that?
They only seem to do that with, like, movies and sort of with records. But, like,
it's so stupid. It's not costing you any extra money. I already bought it.
Yeah. I guess because they think that you would buy it, get the digital one, and then sell it. Which, like, there's not as much overhead or whatever with, like, movies doing that, I suppose. But, like, Yeah, I feel the same way. I wish, like, you could just install it, and then, like, they're like, hey, once every, I don't know, no more than...
Yeah, because I guess if you did that, you could, like, here, you just take my cartridge and put it in your Switch and then download it, and then it would have to be some kind of verification process. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, let's see if there's any more.
Whatever, we're all going to hack our Switches and download everything in about 5 or 10 years anyway.
Yep.
I've got one on Twitter.
UK Joseph.
Oh.
Do you feel Elden Ring will be as influential on the gaming industry as Breath of the Wild was in terms of design philosophy and copycat chase the gold mentality?
Yeah.
I think that Elden Ring already is like heavily influenced by Breath of the Wild, so they're already kind of doing that. So I feel like by proxy, it would still just be Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
This is like the first one of those games of, hey, we really liked Breath of the Wild, let's make that, that has actually nailed like what people love about Breath of the Wild. So I would say that anything that comes out in the future is just going to be like, you know, whenever we play a new Metroidvania, we're like, yeah, it's like Metroid or Castlevania.
Yes.
So, like, maybe you would just say, yeah, it's kind of like Breath of the Wild or Elden Ring.
I would say the thing that Elden Ring probably introduces that a lot of games don't is just like the map system, where it's like it doesn't keep track of your side quests and things like that. And you kind of, and like the discovery stuff, where it's like it doesn't just give you a bunch of icons on a map, because Breath of the Wild even does that sometimes. Now, it's, you know, because it's like you go up on the tower, it spreads out, and it's like, oh, there's a bunch of points of interest, go check them out. And like Elden Ring doesn't do that, right? And I would like to see that more. Just like let me naturally discover things. I don't like the tons of icons, tons of busy work on a map shit. I would like to miss things. I want more video games where I can miss shit, because that means I will go back and play it again and again and again.
And find new stuff and exactly. be like, wow, I love this game.
Like I
never saw this before.
I want to replay Breath of the Wild lately, but I'm like, I saw everything. I saw everything in that game. I did every single dungeon. Because the map just shows me where they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had like, if it had been a little more almost frustrating to try and find all those dungeons, I would have just like been like, you know, I'm just going to beat this game. And I would have gone back and done another run. And then I would have found everything using a guide or whatever.
Yeah.
Just being curious. So I like that a lot about Elden Ring. And I hope that becomes a thing. I doubt that it will. But, you know, I hope that it will. Dark Souls is frequently emulated, never really, duplicated. So it's
like, other than like maybe Neo.
Yeah. It's like, so I kind of think it's going to be something similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where people are like, oh, we made an open world, but it's hard this time. And that's all they took away from it.
The thing about games like Elden Ring and Breath of the Wild is they're hard to make.
Yeah.
So
they're really hard to make.
I think people will try to give off the impression that it's a lot like those games, but I don't see most of them being actually as deep and adventurous to, you know, explore.
How about this? Make me an Elden Ring and let me turn it to easy. Goddamn. I don't have time.
We also don't have time for the discussion that generates.
Yeah.
We have one last question here in the Discord. I don't think we're going to have a whole lot to say about it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But Umbrains again asks, thoughts on Tiger handheld or related LCD games from back in the day? Any favorite ones or stories?
I actually have some things to say.
Okay. I don't really have... I think I might have had an X-Men one.
I wasn't allowed to have any video games as a kid. My parents bought me a Jurassic Park one. And that was the only video game I had from 1994 all the way up until 1997, which seems like an eternity for a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
And I played the shit out of that Jurassic Park game, and it sucks ass. And I played it so much. I got so good at that game. I also had like this fishing game where it was like a fishing rod, and you would cast it out and you could reel it.
Yeah, I remember
that. That game was actually dope. It was really fun.
Do you remember, I think they probably sold them in like Avon or something, because my grandma sold Avon, and I definitely got this from my grandparents, but they were like these shitty little things that had 300 games in one.
Oh, yeah.
But they were just like
they used to show those on TV, and they'd be like, and it would I remember it would show that kid throwing away his SNES cartridges, and it'd be like, it's like, say goodbye to expensive game cartridges. It's like, you've got 100 games.
Yeah, and they each are consisting of a total of 3 blocks and have like 2 different sounds. And I remember getting one of those for Christmas one year, and I think I played it that day, and that was about it. I was like, man, this sucks.
Yeah,
the racing game was like, okay.
Another cool story. Oh God, this one hurts me so much. And I can never tell my dad. He gave me this toy he had when he was a kid. It was a handheld Missile Command game. Oh, and cool. It was like from the 70s or 80s. And it was like, what it would do is these streaks of light, it was like vector graphics. These streaks of light would come down and you had a little, it was basically a shmup. It wasn't even Missile Command. These streaks of light would come down and you had another streak of light that was your missile. You could move it around the bottom of the screen with this really satisfying like lever. And then you could fire it and your goal was to try and just crash into the other points of light. But it was really fun. And like, I loved it and I played it all the time when I was a kid. And I lost it, and it's worth like hundreds now.
Oh,
yeah. And I've like, because I looked into rebuying it so many times because I really liked that little toy, but it's like at least 120, 150, more than that probably. But it was that was the last time I checked.
Damn,
that sucks. And like, I never told my dad, but I remember at one point, like I couldn't find it when I was a kid, and he was like, "You lost that thing?" Like, oh, he was all frustrated, and like, I won't tell him now that I definitely like. Completely lost it way later. So, but it was a cool little toy, and that thing was really cool. Oh, the other thing was my friend gave me a Tiger R-Zone, like the big fat one, with Street Fighter 2 when I was a kid. God damn, that was a piece of shit. Oh, it was awful.
Man, I didn't think we would have that much to say about this, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, you said we got...
My thing is they should have made more Game & Watches. That's my... Yep. And released them in the U.S.
Amen, brother.
Okay, so Jay the Gamer asked on Twitter, "Hey guys, I'm not at all interested in the current gen stuff aside from the Switch."
I thought you were going to say, "I'm not at all interested in your show." It's like, cool.
We had someone who asked something like that
iTunes
one time.
Good iTunes review.
They were like, they literally came in and were just like, "All the stuff you talk about, I don't care about. Why don't you talk about this other stuff?" And I was like, don't listen, dumbass. Anyway, but he says, "Hey guys, I'm not at all interested in current gen stuff aside from the Switch. I have heard some YouTubers talking about the Switch showing its age. Can you see it being as successful for the next 2+ years until its successor is released?" Yes. The only people that are not complaining about the age of the Switch are Nintendo, because they're making a lot of money with it.
My little cousin, who I've never seen play a video game in her life, she's 28?
Yeah.
I don't know. She just got a Switch.
Yeah.
As did my aunt.
And people are like playing like, real fucking video games on them. They're playing Mario Kart. They're playing Animal Crossing. It's like, this isn't like
she's got Animal Crossing and Pokemon.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm just like, I don't know what's happening, but I like it.
I love it. It's great. It's so cool. I never thought
I keep telling her to give me her friend code and she hasn't yet.
You probably go back to old episodes and hear this, but like during the Wii U era, we were just like, the Wii was a fluke. The GameCube was all downhill. You know, the DS was only for 10-year-olds, even though it was super, super successful. And I just assumed that we were done. Like, Nintendo was just going to be on the decline and be a niche thing, and we would have our little corner, and that would be it. And now the Switch is, like, the biggest fucking thing of all time, and it's, like, a straight video game thing.
Yeah.
It's very cool to see. And I think that a lot of people, those people that are buying one, especially ones that are buying one, they don't give a shit, man. They don't care.
Yeah.
The Animal Crossing one's great. Mario Kart's fun. They even can boot up freaking, you know, Saints Row 4 and play it, and they don't care.
Anyone that is, like, a quote-unquote serious gamer that has a Switch... It's not their only console.
No.
So if they're wanting, like...
I think it can be. I would be totally fine just playing my Switch. You know,
I really honestly, would. Like, this... I think you had said this before, but I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I would probably be 100% fine with my Switch and a PC.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, and, like, part of me is, like, kind of like, man, I kind of wish I'd gone that route. But, that comes with its own hurdles and annoyances.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, I think that, you know, probably sometime next year we'll see something about the new system. And I think, you know, they'll put out Mario and Zelda and people will buy the shit out of it. It'll be fine.
Breath of the Wild 2 is going to hit and everyone's going to shut the F up.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things too is that like it feels especially out of date with like the PS5 and, you know, and all that. But at the same time, all those games for those consoles are still coming out on the PS4.
Also,
And the other thing is the Switch, like it's a handheld. Like, I know you can play it on your TV, but like it's still a really crazy achievement for a handheld.
And the majority of people are playing it handheld.
Yes, that is like their main way that they play it, and they love Stardew Valley, and they love, you know, their other stuff on there, and Tetris Effect, and the stuff that sells, and everybody's playing it, Minecraft and shit. And so like, yeah, the big dorky hardcore gamers are always going to want their big dick box that just plays everything.
But if they just get a Steam Deck at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go buy a Steam Deck and play it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Or even not even that. An not hour even and a half. Half. Yeah. It's
like, and you know, you'll probably get it maybe early next year.
Yeah. I think that we will see a Switch successor. I think that what you said, 2+ years is a more reasonable timeline. I think a lot of people are freaked out because Nintendo said the thing of like, oh, we're going to support it for 10 years. That's not what they're talking about. They're going to keep the eShop up for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's all they're talking
Nintendo
about.
Nintendo always says things like this.
Yes.
Like the
Game Boy Advance is going to see incredible support.
They call the 3DS is the third pillar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
And something else that I think you need to think about, and I don't know, I'm not saying that the question asker...
No, it's not him. Like, it's like, we're talking to these people
like
specifically.
Some people are like, oh, Nintendo is gonna, you know, be doomed because so-and-so. But, like...
Tale is old as time.
Think about the next, like, 2 years. This Mario movie is coming out.
Yep.
And they're opening the American Super Nintendo World.
Yep.
Those two things, like, don't completely take games out of it. Mm-hmm. Those two things alone are going to make them so much money.
Yep.
And
if this new and like
they're going to be fine.
Like Legends Arceus is selling like crazy. Oh, yeah. And like
it's the best selling Pokemon game.
I bet this new Pokemon is also going to do buku bucks. I guarantee there's another Mario on the way.
Yep.
And we got all these Mario Kart tracks. Breath of the Wild 2. They're going to be just fine.
And I think within the first year of whatever the new system is going to be, I bet that's when we get Mario Kart 9.
And we're getting the perfect video game, which is Kirby.
Yes, yeah, for real.
Yeah, I think that game's going to be a big deal. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, gigantic Smash success. It could be, but I think that game's going to draw a lot of people to the series that like the character and haven't really, you know, they're like, they see a side-scrolling Kirby game and they're like, oh, cool.
I think about the last few Kirby games. They've all been kind of the same, more or less.
Since like,
They've still been good
for the last 10 years.
But this is like such a big change up for the series.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming. I think those people are dumb. And I think the only reason they say that is because they're like, I want to play Elden Ring on my Nintendo Switch. Bitch, that's just not realistic.
What it comes down to is people like to argue and people think that they understand how the video game industry development cycle works. And I don't even, like, I think I understand it better than most people.
Yep.
But there's still so much of that I don't understand because I'm not a video game developer.
You also just have to take a step back too and like look at the money problem. Like what reason does Nintendo have to change anything if they're making more money hand over fist with this outdated heart? They're like, they're loving it. They're like, this is great. We can keep selling this cheapo shit. And people
with
are
the
just
same old with ass the same Nvidia chip
and like just keep making so much money.
Yeah.
And I think that the only reason they're gonna like, you know, make a new one is either A, when they run out of hardware, which is rumored to be what's happening, or B, when, you know, the sales start to decline. And it's like, it could be a DS situation where we are getting games on this console for like 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, or, you know, just, I could see 7 years. I think 7 years is a safe bet. That's what they usually go with their big,
you know, as much as console. I love my Switch, I am even more excited about whatever the next one is because it seems almost guaranteed to me that it'll be the same form factor as far as like a portable console hybrid. And it seems almost guaranteed that it will, you know, play the previous systems games.
Dude, I hope so.
So going into this Switch in 2017, we had, you had more, but like when I got mine, I had two games.
Uh-huh.
And now I'll get the new one and I'll have 100 plus games just there
that,
already.
That kind of makes me terrified, though, is the same time. Yeah.
But it was a lot like how when I got my 3DS, I was like, hey, I have two games that I can play on this, and only one of them is good. Ugh. But Pokemon Black I can just play on here.
Did you not get that Tom Clancy's?
No, that was the one I meant. That
okay,
was good.
Okay. All right, okay.
The other one was Street Fighter. I was like, Street Fighter's fine, but...
It's great. I played a ton of that.
I wasn't crazy about that version. It was okay. Yeah. It was all right.
Anyway.
It was pretty good, I guess.
I think Nintendo's freaking killing it. I think there's ways they could kill it more. I would love to see more small releases from them on the eShop, stuff like Pushmo, Soccer Samurai.
Yes.
I'd love to see that. I would also, you could talk about, Virtual Console or whatever too, but they're doing great and they're making a ton of money, so they ain't changing shit.
Yeah. They're still Nintendo though, and they're still going to do some dumb shit.
Yeah. So. Anyway. All right. Well, I guess that's the show, right? No more questions?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Hey, thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you to the publishers that sent us review codes for the games that we covered. Go check those games out. It's nice to have great games to review and talk about. And it's nice to have great listeners like you that tune into our show and have fun and talk to us in our Discord. Once again, you can find us in the Discord anytime during the week, and you can come hang out on our Twitch streams on Tuesday nights. We would love to see and hear more from you. And the stuff that you're enjoying. We also want to say thank you to the folks that let us use their music for our intro and outro. Our intro is Time Trials by Hyper Potions, and our outro is, I almost just said the old one. It is Hut by the River by Sound Market. Go check out their music. They're just killing it. They're fantastic, and they both keep making great music. So, all right, I guess that's all. We will see you guys very soon with an interview with Alex from the team that made Dawn of the Monsters.
And then following that, we'll probably be talking about Room Factory and Kirby.
Room Factory 5. Holy shit.
Room Factory and Kirby, 5. Same week.
That's cool. I don't know how we're going to do that, dude. It's going to be exciting times coming up. So be sure to tune in to our new episode next week. And we will see you later. Okay, bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.